open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, and I am flying solo for a little bit here. We're going to bring on Ryan James. Ryan James is the national analyst for Prep Hoops. He also helps out Bison Report founder, Ryan Burns, at Gopher Illustrated. Ryan is, in my opinion, the premier high school basketball and college basketball recruiting analyst in the state of Minnesota, and does a phenomenal job nationally as well. And we wanted to talk to him about Andrew Morgan, who is, in my opinion, and frankly, in fact, the highest rated recruit to commit to North Dakota State in the history of Bison basketball, period. And that would be Waseca's Andrew Morgan. We'll get into that in a little bit. But just wanted to kind of wrap up a few things. Obviously, this podcast is quite a bit after the Trey Lance decision, Trey heading to the National Football League to pursue his dreams. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about that situation and, you know, kind of what happened as far as why I think this was the move for Trey. And honestly, I get it. And I've made both cases, mentioned, you know, that I felt Trey probably could have come back and entered the draft as a 2022 kid, really only fought with Sam Howell for the number one overall pick, and then would have had an opportunity to win two more national championships at North Dakota State. With that said, he is a mobile quarterback. He does take hits. North Dakota State's, you know, offense was designed for him to do that, which is not a bad thing. I'm not dogging Coach Roll or Coach Entz or anything like that, but it was a system that put him at risk. And he's a playmaker, man. He makes plays. The entire James Madison National Championship in 2020, or technically in 19, the game was played in 20, was built around that ability. So when you're a top 10 pick and it's time to go, and no, he's not going to jump Trevor Lawrence. I don't care if he runs a 3.9 at the combine, and blows everybody away with his interviews. He's not going to jump Trevor Lawrence. He might jump Justin Fields. He could be the second quarterback taken, but he's not going to be the number one overall pick. It's just not going to happen. But he is going to be a top 10, top 12 pick. And to take that type of financial security and that type of draft security, because not only that, but that buys you a really long leash once you get to the league. Like teams, I mean, look at how long Chicago has tried with Mitchell Trubisky. When you're drafted that highly, you get an extremely not long leash. And I'm not saying that Trey is going to struggle in the ways that Trubisky has. What I'm saying is he is buying into tremendous immediate financial security, and the fact that an NFL team is going to give him an extremely long leash, is going to give him all of the tools and resources he needs to succeed, is going to put him into a position to succeed early and really put their entire franchise behind him. And that's the difference between, you know, like Easton getting drafted in the fifth round and LA immediately taking Justin Herbert. And that's fine. Justin Herbert's going to be great. But when you have the chance to be drafted where Trey Lance is, you're not getting anybody drafted to take your spot until your rookie contract's over. And I think that's a big deal. And ultimately, with the uncertainty surrounding NDSU's spring season and then having to go back in the fall, I get it. I understand it. Certainly wish Trey Lance absolutely the best. The kid was phenomenal to work with from my perspective. Always good to do an interview. Obviously, I did the shoes story with him, which was tremendously fun. I don't think I'll ever put that pair of shoes on my feet, actually. I don't think that's going to happen, but just a phenomenal person. And it really has been that way for a long time. I continue to support Carson Wentz's foundation. Easton Stick was a phenomenal kid And then Trey Lance and Bison have been tremendously lucky. And I think they're going to continue to be, and not just as a person, but I want to tell you guys, like I've been grinding some Iowa State tape, his game against Akron, his game against Oklahoma. Zeb Noland, folks, is still, the Bison still have the best quarterback in the Valley. His talent level, a three-star kid coming out of Georgia, signing at Iowa State, and then getting as long now as he has had with Randy Hedberg as his quarterback coach. And that's a big deal, guys. And I know Matt knew what I meant, Coach Ants, when I, at the press conference talking about Trey leaving, I said, does it help your program knowing now that Trey is leaving as opposed to going all the way up to the deadline? And he kind of gave me a smart aleck answer and said, well, it never helps to lose an NFL quarterback. But I think it does in the sense that Trey Lance was leaving, you knew now instead of knowing then, and now you get to build your entire offseason program around the transition to Zeb. Zeb has just a phenomenal arm, and as far as touch, he has better touch than Trey Lance. I don't know as though you know, he has a better arm than Trey. He's certainly not the athlete that Trey is, and he's not a bad athlete either, but he can spin it, man, and he can spin it like, you know, we're not talking about Keaton Heidi. We're not talking about Will McElvain. I mean, Zeb Noland can spin the ball. He can move it downfield. You've got these big targets at tight end. Christian Watson, I know the offense was a little out of sync against UCA, but give this group really time to get rolling with Zeb as QB1. And he has the opportunity to start for, you know, two full seasons because of this waiver. And I think it's a big deal, especially to get these young kids ready. Cam Miller, Cole Payton coming in. Obviously, they're going to give Logan Gratz every opportunity to be good as well. I think that the way that Jaren Lewis thing happened when Chris Klieman took the Kansas State job and they flipped NDSU's QB at the last second and the Bison went searching and found Zeb, who, by the way, probably if Jaren Lewis signs with NDSU instead of K-State, Zeb Noland almost certainly is the starting quarterback at South Dakota State right now. So the way that kind of worked out is actually pretty freaking tremendous for North Dakota State, because they have a great, in my opinion, transitional QB for these next two seasons to get, whether it's Cole Payton ready as a redshirt freshman or get Cam Miller ready as a redshirt sophomore. They're going to have a great leader to learn from. And honestly, like I said, with as many weapons as this Bison offense has, Zeb is really being handed the keys to a Ferrari, and he's going to be able to drive it. I really, really believe that. So excited for the future of the quarterback position at North Dakota State, which is honestly something we've been able to say for the last decade, you know, which is pretty incredible and pretty impressive. And honestly, too, what NDSU has done now, getting three straight QBs drafted, two in the first round, is something you don't see at any school. Not just you don't see at the FCS level, you don't see at any school seeing three consecutive homegrown. No, Oklahoma doesn't count. I'm sorry. Baker, you don't count. Kyler, you don't count either. They get Spencer Rattler drafted, great. But Jalen Hurts certainly doesn't count. You see a program develop three consecutive fifth-round pick or better, two first-round pick quarterbacks, it just doesn't happen. At any level, I don't care. Big 10, Big 12, SEC, it doesn't happen. Period. It does not happen. Randy Hedberg needs to be, needs to be given a tremendous amount of credit for that. Moving on to the hoop side, like we mentioned, just a massive, massive get in Andrew Morgan after a guy. And I got to tell you, you know, Coach Richmond and Coach Brown are very, I think, reserved people as far as like what they let get out, very reserved people as far as, you know, what they'll say about a player, especially a freshman. Those two guys can hardly contain themselves with the excitement surrounding Grant Nelson. I mean, they haven't said anything as far as expectations, but you just can tell, man, the smiles and how excited they are about this kid. That Grant Nelson, guys, and Andrew Morgan playing together, for, you know, especially with Grant getting a free year this year, I tell you what, man, it's going to be special in the front court, and hopefully one of these young guards works out, because they're going to be able to play with some phenomenal, phenomenal post players. And that brings me to today's guest, and I want to bring on now, like I said, Ryan James, Gopher Illustrated analyst and Prep Hoops national analyst. We're really excited to have him. All right, now with Midwest basketball recruiting czar, analyst, King Cheese. I mean, what's your title right now, Ryan James?
I don't care what it was. I'm about to change it to King Cheese. I know that.
All right, that's
King Cheese. What I am is I'm the national analyst for Prep Hoops. That's my main job. Our national analyst with Prep Hoops is a little bit different than other companies. That's a story for another day. I also work for Gopher Illustrated, and covering Gopher basketball and Gopher basketball recruiting. And I work for The Breakdown in the state of Minnesota.
All right. So, the reason we had Ryan on is because the Bison just had one of their biggest recruiting gets of all time. And in a very Marshall Bjorklund fashion, this kid might be the hardest person to get a hold of in the entire world.
Yeah, Andrew, you know, Andrew agreed to chat with me for an article the other day, and Andrew is more than willing, but it's, you know, getting a hold of him is not easy because, you know, I'm not sure if Wasika is doing in-person school or hybrid or if they're at home, but, you know, Andrew works on a farm, and I believe he lives on a farm as well, and he's big-time farming guy, and he's either in a classroom working on hoops or he's out on the farm. And, you know, you're not answering the phone in class, you're not answering the phone in the gym when you're working out, and you're not answering the phone when you're whatever he's doing on the farm. So getting a hold of him is dang near impossible, and I don't just mean for media. I mean for his coaches, the coaches recruiting him, you name it. Getting a hold of Andrew, unless you are out in Wasika in the farming area out there, is very difficult.
Yeah, that's incredible. And honestly, that's too, I think a lot of folks believe the same things about Marshall Bjorklund, is that he probably would have ended up at a bigger school had he been a little bit easier to get a hold of, or had he done more summer basketball. You know, one of the highest field goal percentage players in the history of college basketball, and just a really, really, really good player. And I think this has a chance. We're talking obviously about Andrew Morgan here. This has a chance to be another once in a decade kind of talent for North Dakota State. Not often in school history will you see a kid with a Big Ten offer, and not only just a Big Ten. I mean, I was going to be a top five preseason team in the entire country. Now, a lot of that is tied to Luka Garza, but you don't see North Dakota State men's basketball. You don't see the football team beating Iowa for a kid, much less Richmond and this basketball team. What do you know that you're obviously comfortable sharing, but what do you know kind of about Andrew's recruitment and how all that went down?
Well, Andrew, there was a time period where colleges had a hard time getting a hold of Andrew. I don't know much about farming, so I'm going general here, but there was, during peak farming season, nobody could get a hold of him. It didn't matter who it was. And Iowa offered Andrew, and their intention was, you know, when you offer scholarships, there's always, some of those offers are plan A's, some of them are plan B's. Iowa's, you know, their intention was to go after a player from Kentucky, and Iowa missed on that player, who actually went to Iona, you know, and so Andrew Morgan was the next step up. Now, Iowa, there's a little bit of lack of clarity on if Iowa then moved on to Andrew, or if they moved on, they just moved on from getting a big this fall. That's unclear. And right now it's very tough to know, you know, because we already have a hard time getting a hold of Andrew anyway. And then with so many people, you know, kind of shut down, it's tough to, you know, with people not taking visits. In regular times, I would know if Iowa really wanted Andrew because he'd visit their campus, or they would come to him and they'd visit him at his house, or they would watch him play fall basketball or at an open gym. Well, you can't do that now. So therefore, it's tough to know where Iowa really was on him. I had heard that they wanted him still, but they weren't sure what they wanted to do number-wise. So did North Dakota State beat Iowa for Andrew Morgan? That's a little bit unclear. It's just it's very hard to know right now. But they did want him when they offered him, and I'm going to tell you right now, Andrew Morgan is a national top 200 level player. North Dakota State grabbed themselves a national 200 level player. In a normal time, where Andrew Morgan and his Minnesota Heat team, if they had been, you know, traveling the country and playing in the AAU tournaments they're expected to be playing in, people would have seen a 6'9" athletic, strong guy. And it's you don't get 6'9" strong athletic players that play like Andrew. You don't see him as much. So therefore, they get high major offers. If this was a normal year, Andrew Morgan would have 6-7 high major offers. But it's not a normal year. But that doesn't take away from the fact that North Dakota State landed themselves a top 200 player nationally. And he's going to be that, because I'm the guy that ranks players for Prep Hoops. You know, I'm the national analyst, and he will be on the, and what I have laid out, he will be a top 200 player in that class.
So what does he do well? I mean, obviously you said he's 6'9", he's strong, but what, like, not necessarily even a comp, although those are always helpful. I mean, what does he play like? What can Bison fans expect him to do well, specifically, obviously, at the mid-major level?
You know, comparison's a little bit tough. I'd have to think about that for a second. But I can tell you this. In watching Andrew Morgan play over the years, he's a guaranteed dozen-rebound-a-game guy. And that was with his high school team, playing a pretty good schedule at Waseca. And just because Waseca's Class A, they've been Class 3A and 2A, just because they're a little bit of a farm town, don't think that this is a small town Minnesota team. They played a tough schedule, and Andrew Morgan was outstanding in that schedule. And he's a double-figure 12-rebound-a-game guy. He's a 10-12-rebound-a-game guy next to Will Tchetter, who's headed to Michigan. Andrew swallows rebounds. Andrew gets the boards. That's number one. Number two, Andrew is very agile. Two examples I would give you are, they were playing Minneapolis North, and Devon Townley, who is one of the top-rated football players in the nation and just got a Tennessee basketball offer, Devon Townley ran the floor ahead of everybody and went in for a dunk, and Andrew stiffed it off the glass. I mean, he smashed that off the glass with a nasty ricochet. And then this summer, Minnesota Heat was playing D1 Minnesota in a clutch game, and Tamon Lipsey, who is one of the top 50 players in the nation out of Iowa in the 2022 class, he went in for a game-winning shot, and Andrew ran the floor and bounced it off the backboard and sent it into overtime. These are the type of athletic plays he makes. He's just – his quickness with his shoulder turns on the block, his quickness is off his feet, his quickness to contest and block shots, and definitely his quickness to board. It's just a natural physical thing that usually only high-major teams get. But North Dakota State got themselves a gem because of the times and because Andrew Morgan loves the agricultural program there. And he wants to be a farmer, and he didn't want to go far from home. So North Dakota State, you got yourself a top 200 guy who right away will get you a ton of boards.
You're basically in charge, or you have a heavy hand on Prep Hoops Dakotas, right?
Actually, Prep Hoops North Dakota is now Matt Bigelow runs that. The only thing I have to do with Prep Hoops Dakotas North Dakota is when there's AAU games in the summer, I cover them then. South Dakota, I'm basically the guy writing there as they wait for another person to take over. I'll always write there as well, but like I'm also the head national guy, and I cover Gophers and I cover Minnesota, so that's a lot. But Matt Bigelow is the guy that covers North Dakota for Prep Hoops now.
So, well, the reason I asked that, and I've got a couple of questions on that, and we'll be sure to try and get you out of here on time. But we've got two guys at North Dakota State that I think, because of some exits, specifically on the scoring front, and honestly, the talk around Grant Nelson is hype that I'm not sure I've heard before, or the excitement level is extremely high, just kind of around the program. What are Bison fans? Because now they get a free redshirt year. I mean, these kids are going to play if they're one of the best eight, period. Maybe even nine. I mean, Richmond went to 9-man rotation last year for much of the season. What are Bison fans getting with Grant Nelson and Bowden Skunberg?
Grant Nelson, what I'm hearing about Grant Nelson right now, it sounds like you've been hearing the same.
Oh my God, yeah.
The expectations for him are becoming through the roof, just because of his work ethic and because of kind of how he's growing. As he's grown, he's become not just a like a big body, but like a big agile body. And like the word that somebody used the other day to describe it was he's just eating up basketball right now. And like expectations are in that, you know, that level of could be one of the better Bison talents in a long time. And when I watched him when he was between his junior and senior year play for ECI, you know, I watched some film during the winter of his junior year, but what I saw that summer, he was going against guys from Minnesota, guys from Wisconsin that had scholarship offers in the NSIC or D1 level, and Grant was outplaying them. And it was just because he was fighting to get position, fighting to get to his shoulder turn and doing it on balance. He was and he was moving with such a fluidity that hadn't been quite seen before. And he's taken one step and he's taken another step since, you know, since that summer. And right now it sounds like the sky's the limit. Grant Nelson, I mean, you pair Grant Nelson with Andrew Morgan up front, it sounds like, I mean, I'm going to say it. It sounds like you have two guys that would look like what you would have as a Big Ten front line. That's what it sounds like, size-wise, agility-wise, skill-wise. North Dakota State may have themselves a high major front line sooner rather than later. And
yeah, and Dave has made kind of a habit of almost playing four around one. That habit might have to get kicked here pretty shortly.
Yeah, I mean, you might have some you can still do that when they need their breaks, but you might have some high lows just as well. It's quite a recruiting grab. And Bowden Skunberg was a good recruiting grab too. They got him to commit early, and I think had he continued to play as an uncommitted player through the AAU summer, I think you would have seen some good mid-major stuff come his way. I know at one point Iowa actually came up to see him when he was younger. So like the recruiting gets of Skunberg, Nelson, and now Morgan, that's a high level of recruiting going on at NDSU right now.
For sure. And the other thing I want to ask, you said you have kind of South Dakota as one of your charges. I think a lot of folks were, you know, TJ, whatever methods you think he used, but, you know, TJ Otzelberger was a good recruiter, obviously, to get, you know, David Jenkins Jr., a number of other guys in there. And I think a lot of folks really expected there to be a drop off for South Dakota State after Otz left, after he took DJJ with him eventually to UNLV. But people expected a drop from South Dakota State. Dom graduates, Jenkins Jr. leaves, Otzelberger leaves, Eric Henderson steps in there, and there is virtually no drop off. And arguably now with Noah Friedel and good Lord, the player of the year in the Summit League last year. Good grief, that's embarrassing. But his name will come to me in a second. They appear to be the front runners for the conference or for the league, with Shaheed and Ward being gone from North Dakota State. How has it's Doug Wilson, by the way, for the love of God. That's the from the Kirkwood Junior College in Iowa. How has Hendo been able to get this South Dakota State team back on track so quickly?
You know, I would say from an outsider's perspective, the way they recruit is specific, and the way they recruit is a certain type of toughness. There's a certain type of toughness, and there's a certain type of competitive edge that they've been looking for, and they've found in guys. They also found that in Broden Lean, who was from Norman County East, played for D1 Minnesota there and grabbed a bunch of offers, but he's headed to South Dakota State after a prep school year in Ohio. In looking at Broden, you know, he's the same type of hungry basketball player that has a competitive drive. And the other thing that they've done is they've kind of fit things to a system where they have five guys that can face up and play away from the basket, and that system is fit so well for them to continue to win games. They have five guys you have to guard. You have five guys that you can't move off of. You have five guys that every you know, each coach that's in that league has to prepare their players for, and they have to figure out a matchup for. And it's all a testament to the way they recruit, looking for a certain type of player. And Broden Lean is next up, kind of coming into their program, and he is that type of player. Noah Friedel. Noah has this competitive fight to him that winners have, you know, and then they found another guy, like you mentioned earlier, from the JUCO levels that was hungry enough to eat up Player of the Year awards.
Yeah, for the love of God, I can't remember that. And it's such a basic name, Doug Wilson, but I've struggled with that a couple of times.
That's probably why it was tough, because I couldn't think of it either. And I could picture the guy, and I was trying to sneak in some like Google, and like, oh, what are you? Like, yeah. I actually have a, you know what's ridiculous? I have a college basketball preview 1 inch from my right hand, and I didn't think to look at it.
That's great. Well, moving back over to the North Dakota State side, I want to kind of address this, and then we'll let you go. North Dakota State basketball from the beginning of Division I has really been, I think, in a way, and they've had great players at other spots. Obviously, you talk about Tyson Ward, the big wings, the guys that have worn 24, Taylor Braun and Tyson Ward on the wing. I mentioned, of course, Marshall Bjorklund, who was so efficient, Rocky Cruiser now. But ultimately, I think they've been defined by excellent point guard play, with Ben Woodside, of course, in the late aughts, you know, that 07 to 09. And then of course, Lawrence Alexander eventually capturing Summit League Player of the Year. They ran into kind of a dark age of point guard before grabbing Twin Cities native Vinny Shahid, who just signed a pro contract. Congrats, Vinny, by the way. We haven't discussed that yet on the show, but right now you've got Donald Carter III, who I believe is another Twin Cities native from a junior college, and then Des McKinney from Lee's Summit, which is actually where football star Jabril Cox is from as well. Raytown, not Lee's Summit. Do you see that search for North Dakota State for that four-year point guard? Has it been already achieved with Desmond McKinney? And where do you think North Dakota State is going? Because at first look, DC3 and Vinny are kind of band-aids, and Vinny, I mean, shoot, he could end up in the NDSU Hall of Fame, the impact he had on that program in 2 years. But where do you see a reach or a quest, if you will, for that high school senior point guard, either in this class or the next?
You know, they spend a lot of time looking for point guards, especially, it was more last year. I'm not exactly sure what I don't know that they had that focus as much this year, but they spent a lot of time looking for that. And I don't know that they quite found the right fit in terms of the four-year guy. You know, there was some guys they had kicked around from our area. I know they had looked at Noah King a little bit, who was at South Dakota State and is now, he committed from there. He's at a junior college. There were some different guys they looked at, but from our area here, but didn't quite, they didn't pull the trigger on anybody there. Now, Donald Carter III is interesting. Like he's from Minneapolis. Like that's where he was born, but he spent most of his time in Arizona. At Cesar Chavez High School, and he went to community college down there. He's not a guy I know too much about, but when it comes to Dave Richmond, he's looking for toughness and leadership out of his guards. You know, Vinny Shahid, I watched him play in high school. I watched him win a state championship. I mean, coming out of high school, you know, Vinny was about 5'10", not the quickest out there, you know, not the biggest, not the quickest, but he was a winner. And he was a winner. And like, I remember moving him up our rankings from like the 40s to the 20s. And I remember there was still anger there from people like, he was won a state championship. He should be higher than that. And maybe they were right. But you know, he always had a winning mentality. And like, as you said, NDSU is looking for that mentality. You know, it's tough to know, you know, now that you have a new set in there, it's tough to know right now if these guys are that fit, but I do know they had spent some time looking for the right guy. And then you'd miss one guy because he blew up and ended up at not as good high majors, or a guy blew up and goes to a really good mid-major program. And so they in high school level, they haven't quite got that guy that I quite know about. But I, you know, as NDSU continues to have success, more people will continue to look their way.
All right. Thanks for the time, RJ. We really appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right. I want to thank Ryan James for coming on the show. And we certainly want to thank Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, run by Bison legend Chase Morlock. Chase has got all of the COVID-19 precautions rocking and rolling over there. I've had a chance to go in and work out, seen some Bison legends in there, James Hendricks working out one day. And it's just a great place, folks. If you're an adult and just looking for kind of a flexible workout, they've got 8 a.m., 7 a.m., and then this open period from 11 to 1 on your lunch break where you just go in, get a 40-minute workout, and get out. And as long as you're, you know, not there until 11, and as long as you start by about 12:15, any time in there over your lunch break, you're going to be able to get a really good workout in, designed by somebody, trained by Jim Cramer, and obviously with the degree, with the certification, all that. But it comes from Bison Football Bones, and I tell you what, they're tough. They're tough. I've been working out there, and I can already see not only the weight loss, but just the cardiovascular endurance. And I want to be, this is something I told Chase, I want to be around for a long time. I just had a baby girl in April, and I would like to be around for a long portion of her life. And like I said, guys, they're doing it safe. They're doing it right. Please go check out Rise Fitness in Moorhead. All right, that's all we got for you, folks. Wanted to touch, actually, though, just real briefly on the Adam Colefield transfer. Wish Adam the best, but to be frank, I don't think this changes really anything for the Bison offense. I think Adam was a very good player. I think that you kind of talked to me, Adam, you talked to me about like a King Frazier type or a Sam Ojeri type, where there was always a flashier back, you know, obviously with King playing with Dunn and Bruce. And then, you know, you talk about Sam playing with John Crockett. But those guys are valuable. I just think you can get some of those more between the tackle tough runs. I think there are guys on the roster. I think Seth Wilson was the best player on the field for North Dakota State, period, against UCA. He'll be the feature back for sure. And then you look at the compliments that they have to him, for him. You get a free year with TK Marshall and Dominic Janella, and that's not even discussing the guys that are ready to go in Kobe Johnson, Jalen Bussey, Sabian Clark. You're going to have running backs coming out your ears. Hunter Lupke is going to get touches. I don't think that the Adam Colefield transfer portal changes the ceiling of the offense at all. He's a nice player. He's a good player. He was a great Bison. But if there's one position that North Dakota State has tremendous depth, it's at running back. So I just don't think that moves the needle. And I got to tell you, I wish Adam nothing but the best. He was a great kid when he was at North Dakota State. And I hope that he finds whatever it is that he's looking for. All right, folks, we will catch you on the next episode of Bison Report Radio. And thanks for listening.